Hello, Audio Boo. This is February day six. That's a hashtag February, hashtag February. And this is Paul Hopkins via podcasting, reporting in for day six in what's becoming my shed. It isn't my shed. It's a shed that is within the enclosed run that Usher uses, Usher the guide dog. He's my guide dog, it's not someone else's. And he goes out for his runs and does his business and all that before we go home on various bits of public transport. So, voting. Oh my goodness. Do we vote and or not and why? It's one of these, I almost thought it's such an obvious question, you know, and I thought, frankly, I hope some of these topics get a bit more interesting. And I thought, bore me to tears, everyone, and all that business. Because I think whatever I say about voting, there will always be a counter answer. And actually, I don't believe in the process anyway. So what difference does it make? So the answer could have been, yes, I do vote. And the why, well, for no reason, it doesn't make any difference. So, you know, I just vote because we still have... I don't know, the essence of democracy in this country, so I might as well go through the process of just voting. And that would have been my answer, really. And then I thought, well, I do need to think about this a little bit more. And I think some of the boos previous on previous days have been a little more serious, and I perhaps haven't been taking it as seriously. But in terms then of some serious thought around why I don't vote, well, for all sorts of reasons, it doesn't seem to make any difference. And I think Sassy Cat was one of the people who sort of I reflected with, you know, that it always seems rigged. And I know, you know, you could say, well, that's the loser kind of saying that. But I think in politics, if that's what we're talking about, then I just don't think it makes any difference. You have a two-party race now, pretty much in a two-horse race then. In every country I can think of, or even better, so let's have a coalition. Well, what's that all about? I mean, you know, there is still a winner. There is still one person essentially, or one group that is essentially sort of winning. So, you know, I think in Britain, for example, there won't be a third option, or there isn't a third option, because, you know, whichever side they alleged themselves to when having the deciding vote as to who to go with, they've essentially just... Good boy, Ush. Boy, should we go then? Are you ready to go? Oh, yeah, I think so. Let's go. Whoever they went with, it was obvious then they were just not going to be able to ever become anything in their own right, because they would have... All the votes that they would have lost from people that actually were voting... all the their respect was lost whichever way they went, really. So I think that's a great way of kind of kicking themselves in the bum, basically. But what choice did they have? They had to vote someone. I don't know. But anyway, it just seems like a bit of a con to me. And I do think that a few things really that depressed me about politics. Firstly, I think that even if I was an able-bodied, well, I am, but I mean, I'm blind. If I wasn't, I'd still wouldn't believe in the system. You know, they're basically middle management trying to get as much out of the trough as possible for themselves. And projects are rarely about me and you and whoever. And they have these massive bills that we've only touch the iceberg of, really, in expenses and fraudulent claims. You know, so much of it went on, and yet one person, I think, ended up going to prison for a bit and being made a bit of a scapegoat. Oh, we've got to be soon to be doing something. I'd better send Jeff to prison then. That kind of idea. And it is completely and utterly depressing, to be honest. Within disability, I mean, I think, actually, that I'm more political than I've ever been, and I want to engage somewhere along the line. But it would be more in terms of campaigns for more rights or better conditions for a group of people that I certainly don't feel I represent, but my visual impairment gives me credence, if you will, in that I can go to someone in the campaigning sense and say, this isn't good enough, this is our experience, blah, blah, blah. But even when you do that, I mean, I campaigned with others over, for example, I'm trying not to get too in-depth here, but campaigned with others and the Royal National Institute for the Blind over increasing the giving the high rate of mobility to people with visual impairment, and the conditions were quite specific, so it wasn't like everyone was going to just get this benefit. And I thought, well, regardless of whether I get it or not, let's campaign anyway, because if some people get it, it's because and they deserve it. And then the government go, oh yeah, but we're not going to keep disability living out, so we're going to have personal independence payments, and basically it's going to be an itemised. Disability Living Allowance was never means tested. It was an amount of money that you would get at a certain level to do certain things, and that was great. It's effectively, here's a bit of money, because life can be a bit difficult sometimes, and it's harder to get some services. You might have to pay a bit more for taxis, so on and so forth. You know, I'm about to go and probably wait half an hour for a bus because two will drive past. Hello.
Hello.
You all right?
Yeah,
you. Forward usher. And to the left, where was I? Right, I was talking about before someone else came to the run. So I'm out of my shed now, walking down the road or towards the bus and north. Usher left, straight on. I was talking about personal independence payment that is basically disability allowance was means tested. It wasn't means tested really, it was an extra amount of money for the extra incur of on costs for having a disability, and there were a couple of levels, and that was it really. It wasn't abused. I think the fraud in benefits is low. It's less than 4%, isn't it? The 0.04% is the figure that's bandied about for fraud in disability living allowance. And you know, it's quite well documented. There are people, or have been a few people, that were clearly filmed not having a significant disability of any sort, and claiming the high level, and so on and so forth. So, and no, that's not good enough. We've had a pillaging and a invasion and a depleting and will do of resources and funding towards disability like we've never known before, and yet we won the campaign to have this extra money awarded, which we're talking about, you know, a few hundred pounds a month. We're not talking about great amounts and wads of money here. And actually, if it does get cut, it's going to be a lot harder for me to work. So at the moment, you know, in case you needed to know, if you don't know, those of you that aren't VI, usher left, find the way. For example, the employment of blind people is lamentable. Well, people with disabilities generally as well. There are a few great examples of companies, and I have the distinct honour and privilege of, you know, influencing companies in terms of their disability or their attitude towards disability and the knowledge of disability, as do other charities and stuff. So it isn't just me, and as do other VI people that are possibly listening to this. But it's shocking. Something like 85% of working aged visually impaired people do not have a job. They are not working. So they're of working age. Usher left and forward and straight on. They do not have a job. They're not working. And there is probably little prospect of that changing. They're willing, people are willing, lots of willing people. Training programs, support, mentoring, nothing is there. And it's being eroded, in fact. So this is probably my first big rant of the February. And it's going to be difficult for some of you to argue this, but because it's very specialist, I realise that. But in general, I just don't feel, and that's just one topic that people don't want to understand. They don't want to do these documentaries where, you know, the MP comes and stays in a disabled person's house to see what it's like living in a disabled person, because they know what the difficulties are. It's been documented, it's been blogged about, it's been evidenced, and yet we still have this appalling equality. You know, if you're wondering about my politics, that's it on the one hand. But on the other hand, it's why I run things like the VIP Advisor channel, which you can find on Facebook and Twitter. And this isn't a plug, but it's there. And of course, on Audioboo at audioboo.fm/channel/VIP-advisor. And I'm not trying to be laudable or anything fancy. I just felt that something like that was needed, something that was solid, something that would keep going on, something that would hopefully always be there for as long as Audioboo exists, something where I have contingency plans by which to continue running it. Usher, find the curb to the right, good boy. Forward. Because nothing is infallible, but believe, and my contingency planning comes from, you know, my background in terms of what I do for my job, so the need to have backup and, well, contingency is there to try to just be a gap that bridges, you know, that people can talk about situations that they're in as visually impaired people, that we can interview people if necessary, and as VIP Advisor grows in terms of its reputation, hopefully that sort of thing will happen. Hopefully serious policy makers and changers will come to the VIP Advisor table and engage with trusted members of the community of, and I would say that everyone on VIP Advisor is trusted. They are all incredibly knowledgeable, because you do become knowledgeable, you become your own best Wikipedia, whatever you want to call it, on your experience. So if you can feed that into somewhere, policymakers can come and ask opinions and find out what the real state of play is, if they're genuinely interested, or that we can perhaps even in the future campaign with a voice, really. And that would be where my politics would lie. That would be where my interest in advocacy and even self-advocacy is, you know, that if people can defend themselves or can advocate for themselves in the end as well, that would be the greatest outcome, that in that sense people wouldn't need VIP Advisor or support groups like it, because they'd learn to fight their own ground where necessary, but join others where required. So I think that'll do, really, for me and my politics. Still recording, I think. Yeah, it's going to cross this road, and that's just one angle. I mean, steady, Ush. Stop. Right. I'm at a crossing. No one intends to stop. This guy's going to come past, is he not? No, he's going to stop. Thank you. Well, the next person on this side, he doesn't want to. Thinks he can keep moving. Not wise. It just sometimes feels, especially when you're out in the environment as well, that you're not very well looked after. And there's already battles enough as it is, coping with the environment that we're in. So, Usher, can you go? Hi, are you all right? So, I'm just recording on Audioboo.
Oh, right.
About politics.
Nice.
So, have a lovely...
Soon,
oh, that's promising.
Right.
I thought you were just making it up then for a minute. See ya.
See you later.
You take care. Have a nice evening. Okay, I better come and look out for it. Cheers, I should stay. See you, love. Spare me, that was a work colleague. Yeah, the environment is already difficult enough without the government putting extra strain on it. And I know we're talking about a few hundred quid for a few thousand people, probably, but... part of the campaign I was involved in sort of demonstrated that not many people would actually be entitled to the higher rate of, but they still had to come and mess it all up. So yeah, not feeling the love in that regard, but feeling the love for you guys. You take care. It's been Paul Hopkins, all spoken to soon. Bye bye.